Hi, I'm Danny Elfman from the band Oingo Boingo.
This is Darlene Love.
Hello, Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins. Happy Christmas.
Kim Wilde here.
This is Don McLean. You're listening to the Sounds of Christmas podcast.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. I have been fortunate again this year to have so many wonderful singers and musicians join me on this podcast to talk about Christmas music. And I'm particularly grateful that they all had enough of a sense of humor and were kind enough in their responses when I asked if they were planning more Christmas music in the future. Most of the time, the question about more Christmas music came shortly after their brand new Christmas album or single had just been released. Still, no one got mad or even annoyed, at least as far as I know. So for all the Christmas music junkies out there, like me, I have put together some excerpts from some of this year's episodes, kind of a highlight reel that focuses on that question. The first one I peppered with that question was Ken from the Tell-Alls. In the midst of his band releasing three Christmas singles, I asked him if there was more Christmas music coming. While he wasn't sure about new Christmas music, he did share plans for 2024.
I'm hoping to be able to go out and play live more than I have. Just been kind of hunkered down with the recording process, which I love. You know, I pretty much produce most of my music and record most of my music. This record, this album that's coming out under my name is currently untitled. I did go into the studio to mix with a great engineer, Drew Carroll, out of a studio in East Nashville, a bomb shelter. Great, great studio. Drew's awesome. It's sounding great. So definitely a perfect match. I'm really happy with the way it's going. And basically getting out there and playing. You know, you'll hear that time again. I saw something online. Dave Grohl it was one of these Instagram reels or something. You know, people would ask him this or that about the music business. And, you know, and the idea of song contests came out. And he said, just get out there and play live. And then just kind of like reminded me, yeah, that's exactly right. Just get out there and play.
When I talked to Lisa Bialis, who had just released her album At Christmas, she told me she didn't think she had more Christmas music on the way, but she did point me in the direction of where I could find more Christmas music from her.
During COVID, I recorded a bunch of those those tunes that everybody loves. And I did a little YouTube video called The 12 Days of Christmas. So I released, it turned into 14 songs, but I released a song a day during COVID. You know, everybody was like connected to their computers. Yeah. And did duets with my music friends. So I would send, you know, we would do it either by Zoom or on the phone. And I'd say, here's my part. Can you add your cello or your trumpet or your violin or your pedal steel or your piano or your bass? You know, like all these friends. And I released, you know, that. So I've exhausted it here for a while.
Suki Malloy, who had just released her album Snow is Falling, told me she hadn't really thought about putting out more Christmas music until I put the idea in her head.
You know, we really combed over the songs, but now that this is not good, Ken. You keep giving me ideas.
I didn't mean to keep giving you homework. Sorry.
But, you know, we could. It's a thought. It's a thought. But we need a lot of people to purchase the music so that we can afford to make more music. So that's an ongoing dilemma for recording artists at this point.
Even though her Christmas album had just come out, Aubrey Logan seemed to think there was definitely more Christmas music on the way from her with a couple exceptions.
Oh, yeah, there always is, as long as it's not Jingle Bell Rock. Or Santa Baby. I will never sing Santa Baby or Jingle Bell Rock. Everything else, you know, we'll talk about it.
Following the release of her new single, Christmas in the Tropics, Linda Imperial talked about some of her upcoming plans and the possibility of re-recording a Christmas classic as her next Christmas single.
Well, I have my new single uncovered, and I have about three more songs that I'm still working on for a full album. Tulsa Rose and Silence is Deadly and Days Go By. So I've got three more songs that I'm almost ready. We had the musicians here and we were playing it, you know, working out the arrangements. So that's kind of keeping me busy, trying to get together my shows and get charts on everything so I can go out and start performing. That'll be fun. I miss playing.
Now, we just talked about the new Christmas single, and I know it's just out, hot off the presses. So forgive me for asking, but is there any more Christmas music on the horizon for you?
I could. Yeah, I mean, I never thought of it. Each song is like a birth, you know, and you're in labor for like 9 months, you know, so that song is creating itself. I don't know. I mean,
well, and it's a lot different when you're talking about creating something versus, you know, going in the studio and knocking out a version of Jingle Bell Rock in about 10 minutes.
Oh, I see what you mean. I did a version of Run, Run, Rudolph.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually did that with the band and my old band. And I thought of putting that in the show and revamping that. It actually came out really good. Run, Run, Rudolph. But I'm thinking of redoing that.
Just after the release of her third Christmas album, Rhea Stevens said she still has more Christmas music to come, including a possible project that I suggested, though she may have just been being nice.
I love to take walks, like really long walks, and just sing Christmas carols to myself. Like the old, old, old ones that probably nobody even knows anymore. But I've been doing that since childhood. I've been doing that since I learned them, like in kindergarten and first grade and second grade and third grade. I loved to be in the yard and sing those carols and watch my breath kind of fog up the air. So it's just something that I do. And I usually will embarrass myself by running into a neighbor and they look at me funny or whatever, but it's something I do every Christmas.
Not to give you one more thing to do, but have you ever considered making an album of all those old carols?
Yes, I have. I've actually thought of doing that, but doing it in an acoustic, really stripped down setting. Maybe doing public domain Christmas. There's a song on Tis the Season where I really explored that with the song All Through the Night, which is woven into The Holly and the Ivy. And my friend Nomad played, he has this really great like Italian acoustic style guitar playing. And when he sent me that, his guitar arrangement, I had just done a piano vocal arrangement and sent it to him and said, you think we could do something kind of like, you know, Italian style guitar playing meets James Taylor. And he just, you know, a couple hours later sent me the track and it's so beautiful. And it's funny because out of all of that's the track that I spent the least time on because it was so effortless. And it's just guitar and vocal. And that's the one that everybody says, oh my gosh, I love that song. Oh my gosh, that one gets me. So that gets I need to text him back. He texted me the other day and said, hey, let's talk about doing some Christmas. And I haven't gotten back to him, but I'd love to do that with him because I think we do that really well. And that's what's so fun about music is that you just kind of like, you know, I think about the players and okay, this person plays like this, who would be, you know, I kind of cast the players for different songs, or you know, the producer that I'm working with will kind of co-cast together. But that was a fluke. That was an absolute fluke that I think could turn into something magical, because I was thinking, okay, after COVID, the last song on this album needs to be like, we're all being watched over this, like a universal theme of comfort. And it couldn't be big. It needed to be stripped down. It needed to be acoustic. And that's the song everybody seems to love the most.
I would be so grateful and so excited for a Rhea Stevens Christmas album of rescuing the classics.
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you very much for the inspiration. I am going to seriously consider that. Okay. You know, that's especially, like the Holly and the Ivy to me, I have always loved that melody. Always loved that melody so much. And it's so rarely used. But like, do I know the lyrics to that? No. Does anybody know the lyrics to that? I don't think so. But what if somebody actually did write lyrics to that that became standard? That would be really cool.
When I talked to David Arkenstone, who had just released Winterlude and has released a lot of Christmas albums and winter-themed albums in the past about new Christmas music, he said he thought he was pretty happy with what he's released so far and didn't think there was more coming. And then he started to think of some Christmas music that he might want to record.
You know, the last one I did, I think, was the Native Christmas one, which was fun because it's challenging playing a native flute on songs that people know by heart, because it's got a limited note capacity. You can't play every note, at least on the flutes I have. And that's what makes them actually really cool flutes. So you have to kind of skirt around it, and it makes you go different ways. So I haven't, you know, I did Winterlude, and I'm pretty happy with my winter collection and Christmas collection, but, you know, something else could occur to me. You know, we do a couple arrangements in the show of some holiday music that I have not recorded. So that could be the impetus to do yet another Christmas album someday. Probably not next year, but I don't know. One of the fun things, by the way, of working on Christmas music, at least when you're with a record label, is you're doing it like in July or August because of the lead time they need to manufacture it, promote it, all that. So it's a really interesting thing to be doing it in July.
Was it hard to sort of get in that mindset in July?
It kind of was at first. You know, I did one song when I was living in Utah. On the second, I did a version of We Three Kings when I was living in Utah, but that was in the summer. But I had just gone through the winter, you know, in Park City. So it was still fresh enough. I could grasp it.
Cliff Beach hadn't planned on releasing a Christmas single this year, which made him think, even though he has a new non-Christmas album coming in just a couple months and other music is in the works, there's a chance there could be more Christmas music next year.
You know, that is something I haven't thought about, but I think with Christmas Day Funk, it has opened up new possibilities to hopefully work on more Christmas music. That can again follow up to that, because I think you've hit the nail on the head that a lot of times there are a lot of sad songs coming out, and I think I'm like, no, I don't want more sad songs. Let's put out the happy Christmas music, but not cheesy. You know, there's a balance of like, yeah, it needs to be still relatable and real. And so I'd love to do another single. I haven't thought about it yet, but again, I think when the pressure is on, that's when the idea will spark and come. And I'm always absorbing, you know, what's happening around me. So, you know, as I'm inspired and something comes to mind, then I'll go down that path accordingly. So I always leave it open to the possibility, nothing exactly on the horizon. At the same time, you know, I'm always working with great licensing companies. So now that some of the strikes and things are kind of wrapping up, and they'll have more need for music again, then they may tap me and say, hey, can you write something? Which I always love when I'm writing something specific for a reason. So that could also open opportunities accordingly. And, you know, there are a lot of Christmas albums, you know, like Harry Connick Jr. And some great ones that you'll hear kind of children's voices. I never worked with children, but I have been talking with some people who are working with like a really young kid that's going viral on TikTok. And they were talking about a possibility of doing something together. So we shall see. But who knows? Maybe Cliff Beach will do a Christmas album or a children's album. I don't know in the future, but or some duets or something. But doing maybe a duet would be fun for Christmas. I couldn't get it pulled off for this year, but maybe that might be something to think about.
And after all, Christmas Day Funk wasn't even on your radar 4 or 5 weeks ago.
No. It was really just, oh, okay, yeah, Christmas is coming. Okay, my head kind of out of some projects. And I was like, you know what, it would be great to do that. And we kicked around a couple of ideas, and then Christmas Day Funk just kind of happened. Like, it was just like, oh, that's, you know, I was thinking about, you know, Christmas funk. And then eventually I had to look up, you know, I like to look at titles and see what's out there. I was like, okay, funky Christmas, this and that. Like, okay, I want something that's just like reminiscent of that, but a little bit different. So there was no song that I could find called Christmas Day Funk. And then like rhythmically it works for that. So that's kind of like how it came. And I was like, oh yeah, like, cause you could have a funk leading up to Christmas, but it's like Christmas Day. It's like when you wake up and the present you want isn't there, that's the funk, you know? So like, yeah. So I was like, that's the time I'm going to need this song the most. So let's make it for that.
After releasing Toddy Time with her band, the Hot Toddies, Michelle Malone wasn't so sure there would be new Christmas music next year, at least not an original Christmas album.
It's a lot of work to write another record because I just finished another one. And, you know, it takes me a while. And then you go out on the road and you work it for a few years. And you have 12 months a year to sell a record that is not Christmas. So when you make a Christmas record, you get, like I said, 4 to 6 weeks to do that. Right. It doesn't really make a lot of sense for me to do that. I like to spend my energy working, writing other songs for other projects, but I'm not against writing Christmas songs. I just don't know how I could sit down and write a whole record of them, you know? There's so many great ones already written that I love so much. I kind of just love trying to reinterpret the ones that exist. I never had a cover band until, you know, the last 5 years of my life. So I'm making my career backwards. But I found a new love for trying to reinterpret other people's songs, you know.
I know you've got a bunch of shows with the Hot Toddies coming up in December for anybody who's listening, who's going to be in or around the Atlanta area. There have to be more songs than this that you guys put into your shows. Is there a possibility of a Toddy Time too? I know I hate asking that after this just came out, but
anything's possible, Ken.
Such is my mania. I can't help it.
There's always more songs to learn and arrange and interpret. I mean, I really do look forward to it every year. And usually after December, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm going to take January off. And then the first thing I do is book studio time and get the Toddies in there and make another record to release in December. So who knows what will happen? I used to try to predict these things. And now I just know it happens the way it happens, you know.
Is there any Christmas songs you can think of that you wish you had had the chance to record, or maybe they're high on your list to do?
I think now don't shoot me. I think that Mariah Carey song is really good. It sounds like a classic Christmas song. Now the modern style of it doesn't do a lot for me, and there's a part of me that wants to try to see if I can do it in a Toddy way. So I don't know. So far the Toddies have been against it because most everyone is sick of that song, but me, I guess. But as a songwriter, I think it's a great song. I was amazed that she wrote it. Not because she's not able, but because it sounds like it's from, you know, 50 years ago, at least.
Yeah. It has that wall of sound quality to it.
Yes. It sounds like Phil Spector and that whole era.
Yeah. And it is a great song. I don't want to hear it every hour, which is what a lot of radio stations do, which is why I think a lot of people go, oh, that Mariah Carey song again. And it's so unfair because she's recorded lots of Christmas music, but that's the one that gets played, and it gets covered a lot. And when it first was getting a lot of covers in like the first 10, 15 years, it was a lot of people who were trying to make it the same. Mm-hmm. And they weren't. In the last 5 or 6 years, there have been some interesting versions that people have done, like what you're talking about, that they've sort of done their own interpretation of it. Mm-hmm. And really, it's an old enough song now that people don't want to hear it, but it's really becoming a standard. And I know that people are throwing things at whatever device they're listening at right now. How dare you? But it is old enough, and it has hundreds of versions, and it just that and Last Christmas. And I know those are songs that people love to hate, but those are big ones.
We love to hate them, but when they come on, Unfortunately, it's one of those songs you sing to that you love to hate. It's just an earworm. It's like, anything. It just gets in there. I don't know how I know every song that Journey ever put out, but I never bought a record. But somehow when they were playing with Heart and I went, I knew every freaking song. How does that even happen? They're just earworms, right? And they get played. So I think it's kind of interesting to think that maybe I could do a different arrangement of this Christmas song I wrote, Feels Like Christmas. I can arrange it in such a style as the Hot Toddies, but it's got sort of these major seventh chords, and I'm not sure how to get around that. So I've been thinking about that. I'm still thinking about that. We'll see. It seems silly to exclude my own original song from the Toddies, but if it doesn't fit, then it doesn't fit.
Have you given any thought to recording a Toddies live show?
Absolutely, because live were more powerful. And like I said, we use more drums live than we do on these records. We have we got a drummer who will come in and stir the soup on these records. You know, it's not rocking stuff. It's pretty laid back. So that when we do play as a trio occasionally, no one goes, but we really miss the drummer. I did think about these things, but I think a lot about putting out a live Hot Toddy record, and that's probably the next thing we'll do, maybe next year or so. I'm not really sure. You know, like I said, I try to plan things and then other things happen. So we'll just see. Okay. That adage from John Lennon, life is what happens when you're making plans, huh?
David Lanz and Christine Amory have released several Christmas singles this year and several Christmas singles last year. So I had to ask if there was any chance that all of these singles might be collected, maybe with some new tracks, for a new Christmas album next year.
Who have you been talking to? Yes, exactly. Actually, we also did, I didn't mention Ave Maria, a few months later, we did an instrumental version of it with our friend Charlie Bisharat playing. He's an amazing violinist. So we have that version as well. So we'll have two versions of Ave Maria. We'll have two versions of this Padre Nostro. And actually, we wanted to do a version, because it is the Lord's Prayer, this Padre Nostro, do a version in English. So we have a few variations on the themes that we're going to explore. And the idea was to put it all together, again, you know, with Silent Night and Mary, Did You Know? And possibly even include, I'm not sure yet, there's some other things we would include that are from the past, but I won't get into all that. But the idea was to create an album called Into the Sacred, because the texts and everything all kind of delve into the kind of, you know, the religious side of music. So that's something that we want to do. We also have are playing with the idea of doing an arrangement. Actually, we've written a new lyric to Bach's Air on a G-String, which is one of his more famous pieces. So that's another project that is kind of looming. So there's no lack of things to do. But meanwhile, come February, actually January, I'm going to keep releasing singles from the Valentine Hill album, and then the album will come out. And that's it's kind of my first solo piano record in a couple of years. And I'm very excited to kind of, you know, get that back out there. And I know I have a lot of, you know, piano fans who are waiting for that. So, you know, we're dancing as fast as we can.
Russ Lorenzen told me that while he doesn't have new Christmas music on the way, the first of three Christmas books should be out next year.
And so I'm working on a children's book that'll be out next Christmas. So there is more Christmas material to come, Ken, not music, but it's Christmas material based on that song I was talking about, Jingles the Christmas Cat. I always thought that the cat should have an origin story like Rudolph or, you know, Frosty the Snowman or something. And so I wrote a story, and I've been working with an editor from Random House. We couldn't get it out in time for this Christmas. But the song will have its 30th anniversary next year, so it'll be out in time for that, for next Christmas. So I'm really excited about it. So and there's two more books in the pipeline, because they apparently, to get a book deal, they don't want you just to be a one-shot wonder. They want to have several. So I had to give treatments for two others. So there will be three Christmas books coming in the following years. So because I love Christmas, I think, as much as you do.
Dave and April from Critical Mass hinted about what they hope their next Christmas album will be like.
We've talked about it.
We've
gotten a really good response to this one. And yeah,
it's
a
lot of fun, actually. And I think there's more fun to come out of that. This one, you know, we just wrapped up right before the Christmas season. So I think we'll ride the wave on that for a little bit. And then, I don't know, myself, I'm open for the future.
Yeah. The only thing is that, as my band Critical Mass has always done, we don't want to do the same old, same old. So whatever do, it's going to have twists and turns, and we don't want it to sound like what's out there already.
So it won't be Christmas's Real 2.
No, we might actually even just change things up, maybe how we record it. I've always wanted to do something that's more raw and acoustic. So maybe we'll figure out a way to do something that's a little bit different, but a little bit more intimate, like you're sitting in a club. That would be kind of cool to do. But then picking songs that you would think, oh, that wouldn't be a song I would expect to do in that style. Mm-hmm.
Jeff Timmons from 98 Degrees thought there would be more Christmas music to come, but he wasn't so sure it would be out next year.
It just seems like something we're going to do the rest of our career. It's something that works for us, and people seem to like it and gravitate toward it. So I don't see us not doing it. I think you're exactly right. We'll probably do more of it.
As 2024 rolls around in just another week or so, you guys hitting the road, you have new music on the way. What are your plans?
We actually just released a pre-order for our new album. So you can go to our website and pre-order our new album. On that album, we're doing what a lot of the artists are doing, namely, you know, most notably Taylor Swift, you know, re-recording your master so you gain ownership of your material, right? The labels own it. You don't really get to capitalize on where it goes, how it goes, monetize it. So we're going to recreate five of our masters, five new songs. Our first single comes out in probably mid-February. We debut at New Year's Eve on a New Year's Eve special that Nexstar is presenting. And it's called Got You. And Nick was part of the writing team on that. So we're really pleased with that one and excited to see what the fans think of it. It's kind of a throwback to our original sound, you know, the ballad stuff with all the harmonies and you know, the love elements to it. And so we're really, really pleased with it.
You going to take the new record on the road?
I think so. I mean, that's the goal, right? You know, the best part of it, the most rewarding part of it, obviously my favorite part's being in the studio, but you know, there's a lot of gratification that comes along with getting out and performing it for the fans. And so we are fortunate to still be doing that. This last tour that we just finished was probably the best tour, best response we've gotten since, you know, 2013, when we first came back and did that New Kids on the Block Boys to Men tour. So our fans are out there. We're hoping to tour the material, not just nationally, but internationally as well. We've got a great fan base there. And we're just excited to be back and still blessed and fortunate to still be doing this for, you know, now going on 30 years.
A couple other things I'd like to mention. While I didn't talk to Suzanne from Suzanne's band this season, she did tell me that her plan was to have a new Christmas single next year, and next year being 2025, not 2024. Liz Kennedy told me she was focusing on her new non-Christmas music, which should be out in early 2024. And while I wasn't able to have him on the podcast this year, Dan Ashley had told me the last time I was able to catch up with him that he was working on a Christmas album, and maybe we'll get that next year. But that part is just me speculating. Please keep in mind that none of this is set in stone. In fact, there's a good chance that some of these artists merely went along with the possibility of new Christmas music because I put them on the spot and they were just trying to be nice. Still, I'm excited by just the possibility that some of this will actually come to be. Thanks so much for listening, helping me share some Christmas spirit, and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I told you how to listen to the station, and you're already listening to this podcast, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page, which lists most, if not all, of the streaming sites that have our podcast. So you can find your favorite, click on over, subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.